April 24th, Sunday morning study on stewardship. As we mentioned that, as we got into this, we're going to try to explore some things of stewardship probably that you have not considered or things that I've never heard on stewardship before. Normally when you talk about stewardship, you talk about how we handle the oracles of God or our time or our money. But again, what we've tried to stress that God has placed man over everything that he created. And two of the things that we want to deal with, Lord's willing, today and next Sunday is that you consider the environment a stewardship of ours, and the thing of the animals or the animal actors, people, those things that God has created for man's benefit as being stewards over. And it's a great discussion, if you will, today, all those things, insomuch that it's even been taught in the schools to our children. And whatever your thought is on that, to me, it is a responsibility as a steward that God has placed me over that. But not for the reason that the animal activist people or the environmental people of what they say it should be for, okay? I think therein lies the difference. When you look at especially environmental people, their idea of Earth is that if man can protect the Earth, it will last forever because they do not believe as far as in a God. And, of course, we know that is not true. There's an idea in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that man cannot destroy earth. When Paul there writing says in verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," that is, we shall not all die, "but we shall be changed." The idea that during this time on earth, that while earth exists, people are going to die, but then earth is going to end when people are still living. So man cannot destroy that until the God of heaven decides that time comes to an end. And there's so much when we look at this that God has created for the duration of man. And there's nothing man can do. Can he do harm to it? Yes. And we will look at that. He can do harm to it. But man has done harm to everything that God has placed him a stewardship over, but still it survives. Okay? And so we understand that. When you look at Psalms 139, again, just trying to lay a few things down on this. Psalms 139. The writer of the psalmist says in verse 13, "For you have formed my inward parts, you have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, that my soul knows it very well." Again, the idea of this human body. And I'm not familiar with much of the human makeup or body. Maybe that Ray or other people are, the doctors that explore that. But yet even their knowledge of that is limited. When you look at that, can the body heal itself? Well, you cut yourself and you do that, it'll heal back. So how that does that, I don't know. But we do know that it can heal itself. It's made in such a way that it can keep doing that. And other things that it can do, that it's set up as when a person dies, there are certain steps that follow, that the body shuts down. God has designed that body for that particular function. So when you look at the earth and all there, that likewise is designed by God that it can take care of itself. And that's what we want to look at, that he designed it like that. Nothing man can do. He can do harm to it, just like I can do harm to my body, but my body will heal itself back. And the earth, likewise on that. And so that's kind of on that. When we look at this, when you look, and you may be more familiar with animal activist people. I don't know a whole lot, don't claim to know a whole lot, so I hope any input you got, you greatly appreciate it, okay? But I do know one thing about what God's Word teaches, okay, on that. I do not know that much about this makeup of the environment, okay, the global warming aspect to it, of how that functions. You may have some input. I invite you, if you do, comment on it. Because this, if you will, is the people's argument today that mankind can destroy himself. And to me, that's a false statement. This earth will not be destroyed until the God of heaven who created it and it has served its purpose for man will take it away. And so I do know that. Are there set things we can do? Yeah, we will look at some things, hopefully from the Bible, and get your thoughts and stuff, maybe to provoke your thoughts on this. Genesis 2:15 says, "And the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it." Some versions may read to cultivate or to dress it, this creation that he placed man in, this environment in which he placed man in. And the root meaning for dress in this verse is to serve or to be enslaved. Man was enslaved when God placed him in the Garden of Eden to care for him. Then the meaning became to keep in bondage or bond service, serving, to set at work or worshiper. So God took man after he had created earth and he set him in this environment and set him at a work of taking care of that which he had created. And again, the question being, what was man in bondage to? Well, he was in bondage to everything that God placed him over, so his complete creation. And again, much debate today over the environment and that mankind will destroy the earth unless something is done to preserve it. We must do something to keep that from being destroyed. And man can do nothing. There are certain things that we can do how we do it, but when you get ready, God's going to destroy this earth. There's nothing man can do. You have laws enacted today over the cruelty to animals and their mistreatment. Are these fairly considered, again, as stewards of God? And the answer is yes to me. I don't know how you may feel about that, but that is to be a good steward. But again, most would agree that the world's becoming a mess. But we have hope that the God of heaven is still over all. Okay? That things happen that God's going to take care of. In Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 23, someone read. An instruction here on how Israel was to handle the land that they were in. God says, don't you sell the land permanently because it's not yours. You were just placed as a steward over that. It was to be sold for a purpose, then it was to be restored. He said, it's my land. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8, someone read. All these resources that we have, this gold and silver, God said, they're mine, okay? Are we to be good stewards of those things or how we deal with them? Well, yes, and we understand that. When you look at how I should look at my life upon this earth and how God has placed me here, Job makes a statement that naked I came into this world, and that's how I'm going to leave. I'm not going to have no possessions when I leave. The only thing that will leave this world, the dust is going to stay here, and my soul is going to return to God. That's the only thing that will leave this world that I have right now with me. When you look again, as we mentioned, these groups that support these causes, again for the wrong reason, as far as the preserving of the earth, let's look at some verses on this. Someone turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Someone turn to Psalms 102, verses 25 and 26. And someone turn to Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 4. And see what God's Word says concerning this earth, this environment that we live in.
2 Peter what?
2 Peter 3, 10 through 13.
But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth shall also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we shall, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
How's the earth and the heavens will be destroyed?
Fervent heat.
By whom?
God.
Which has implication that it's going to be here until God destroys it. There's nothing man can do. Psalms 102, verses 25 and 26.
Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a garment you will change them, and they will be changed.
Right. They will perish. Again, that God will, at the time that he chooses, destroy this earth, judgment will come. Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 4.
All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine, and as fruit falling from the fig tree.
Those words in Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 4, you remember singing those words in a song? There's a song written for those, that word. The heavens are going to be rolled back like a scroll. They're going to be destroyed. The God of heaven who created all things is going to destroy all things. Man cannot touch that. This environment or nothing else that God has created. That's reserved for the right because he's the creator. No man has the right to destroy or can destroy or able to destroy. That's God because of creation. He is the creator of all. Now, with those said, if you've got comments on this, far away, because I don't have the answers to a lot of it. What are your thoughts if you look at what is the greenhouse effect or global warming that people talk about today?
They allege that we cause it, but there's always been fluctuations in it.
When you look, put it like this, when you look at the universe, we have these planets that circle, that orbit the sun. What distinguishes Earth from all the other planets that's in our solar system that we know of?
It's habitable by humans.
The only one. So there's something, some of them's cold, some of them close to the sun is very hot, but like Betty Bear soup, the Earth is just black. No. What's the chances of that happening? Well, look, that's how God created. He created earth for man to inhabit and place it in such a position that sometimes it's closer to the sun as it goes. Sometimes it's farther, which regulates our seasons. Okay? And so we understand that. It's cold. It's hot. Other planets are unlivable. There's no air. That Larry dealt with, Beth, the breathing through his mouth, the breath of life, the air. The Earth's atmosphere is relatively mild, stable temperatures. Okay? Again, this is produced by the Earth's atmosphere, which it just simply defines, I'm just what I read, and I don't know this, but when you Google it, that the atmosphere is a thin layer of gases that cloak and protect the Earth. Much like, I guess, a heat shield or something on the space shuttle when it comes back down. The extreme heat, you've got that protection there that protects it from burning up. Likewise, you have the atmosphere, which cloaks and protects the earth. This is what the environmental says that we are destroying. And then when that certain protection, that cloak, is taken away, then the earth will burn up. Okay? So, that's what it is. Anybody have anything to add on that? Sure, good. You know more than I do on it. It says 97% of climate control scientists agree that humans have changed the Earth's atmosphere in the last two centuries. It's something that you and I and humanity does that's destroying the Earth.
See, I look at it too a lot like what we were just talking about, destruction of Earth. Man made, he he may develop technology that he feels he can destroy, but is God going to allow him to destroy? He may be able to change atmosphere, and his habits may do that, but is God going to allow it to destroy the earth? No, God's going to destroy the earth, and God wants it destroyed.
I was going to say, you've also got to think we've got rocks on this earth that are millions and millions of years old in accordance to man's wisdom, too.
Yeah, they think, yeah. That's what
they think. So, I mean, you have a lot, you know, again, what you draw comfort from that God says, I'm going to destroy. You know, I don't know what kind of shape it'll be in, but I do know that humans are going to be here because it has reference, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, that they'll be changed. Not all is going to die, but all will be changed at that time. And so we have those two as comfort from that. What causes global warming, and you may have more than what I got down, carbon dioxide or other air pollutants, okay? This is what the scientists say. Do they have a bad effect? Well, yeah. We're not going to, you know, argue that they don't. It's the idea of fossil fuel. You know what fossil fuel is? It's the coal, the gas, and the oil. But again, what produces coal? What produces coal over these thousands of years?
We claim oil and coal comes from millions and millions of years of
dead animals dying and
yeah,
all this, okay?
It doesn't fit.
And so the animals are producing that which is going to destroy our earth because we're using that decayed carcass of an animal that's been, the Jerry Fire says, billion years and it's built up over 1,400 square feet and you're drilling down there and you hit it. And this is, so you have all this stuff that's going, okay? So they claim that's what, so you have your assault on coal. Because these people that says, hey, coal's going to destroy us, of doing away with that. But that's something that's been in effect for thousands of years. And nothing, as they say, I guess we're just now learning this stuff because people in the past were, but what has been has always been. And so we understand that's what fossil fuel, when you talk about fossil fuel of the cow's manure, you look up manure, they claim that puts off unsafe gases from cow manure, horse manure that can destroy this atmosphere, break down this cloud. I mean, anything you want to put under that falls under that. That this is what we're doing. This is how man's going to destroy Earth. That happens unless we do something. Scientists agree the main cause of global warming trend is human expansion of the greenhouse effect. In other words, we're completely destroying all this. Everything we do is destroying this. The fossil fuels, coal and gas, are all products of God's creation, which animals die and cover a course of time, they produce fuel. But they're God's creation, okay? And so, is God's creation that he created capable of destroying the earth? No. God created them for a purpose. And they talk about because of global warming, the earth's glaciers, this ice and all, are beginning to melt at an alarming rate of speed. Because this thin layer, this cloak that protects the earth, is allowing more heat into it than it should because man is destroying it. And I'm not real familiar about this earth's glacier and this or that. But they've been there for a long time. And they're going to continue to be there. Because it takes certain aspects of God's environment to preserve the earth in us. I hope I made that. When you look, if I say, and you often look, what's the purpose of a hurricane? Why does God send so many hurricanes? What's the purpose? What useful purpose other than destruction does a hurricane serve? I don't know unless I looked it up. It takes the warm air from the south and moves it where? Nowhere. So much that that's got to be. So much going to preserve God's environment. He set all this for a purpose. When we look at things and think, well, it's horrible, they're there by design, okay, that God does that. That's his environment. That's what we're placed in. Everything in it serves a purpose. I'll agree.
I don't think he's going to be able to. I think, just like you say, the earth will burn him up. It's ready for it, too. I do agree, you know, with that. But I also do think that, and I'm not against coal by no means, but I do think in the, like up in the mountains, and the water has been hurt by the way man, because of how man did things. They didn't do things the right way, and so, which caused harmful effects.
Again. Good point.
Environment.
Keep in mind, God has designed the body that it heals itself. Okay? Let me ask you about something that took place in history in our Bible and give you some thought about it. What about the 10 plagues? The first plague was what? Water, blood. How did water become pure again? Did God, by miraculous, did restore it that way? How did he? What about the death of the firstborn and the animals? Can you imagine the heaps of bodies that was there that had to be taken care of? The lice, the frogs. How did this all... And Ezekiel tells us that Egypt would become again a nation under a king. How did this all transpire? That all that destruction that took place, the water turned to blood, that is no longer usable for man. How did it become pure again that they could use it? Huh? God set up a system. You ever hear the old thing, everybody hunts? You ever get a mark and drink out of a creek? Is that water pure?
Depends on where you get it.
But God has set up a method or a way designed for that. And what is it? How? Rocks.
If it goes over three rocks, you're safe.
Yeah, you're safe. Is that just by chance, or is that something that God designed the earth? If something becomes polluted, it can heal itself, okay? Now, can we do stuff that harms that? Yeah.
It's always amazing to be out in the woods and come across these old house places where farms used to be, where clear pastures were, homes, outbuildings, and you see it 30, 40, 50 years later. You can't pick out where anything was.
So I said, but how does he heal? Through his providence, okay? That God has set all things. And that process is so much that you can put there that you can't even fathom. Just like the human body of this earth and this atmosphere that God has placed us in. What's the purpose of trees? Where you go, you don't see a tree. They give oxygen. They store carbon. They stabilize the soil. They provide shelter for animals. They give us heat and shelter. But yet, they're all time producing oxygen. Well, can we put smog in the air? Yeah, what's God's provision for that? Okay? We understand that. That same idea that we talked about. But when you look back again at the 10 plagues, that was all restored after this 10 plagues was brought upon Egypt by God. God's providence that he set those things that all could be restored back to like it was. And so we have today. And so when you look if you bring it on up, and you may have better examples than I do of this, in today's world. At one time, it was great when you watched the news and so on, of the oil spills. How it was going to destroy everything and whatever. All these oil spills, this oil and stuff just completely destroyed their wildlife and ruined the water. Where's that at today? Go back and look at those big oil spills, how that water is today. Just like it was. This idea that it restores itself, it heals itself from all this. Some of you may not be familiar, I am, and of course some of you should. Remember when the Gulf War started years ago? And Saddam set all the oil wells and stuff on fire. And all this smoke, they said, went, I think at one time they said some of the smoke maybe reached California. Am I correct on that? How far that smoke went, and what a great catastrophe it's going to destroy man. How long did that last? In a matter of a month, it was gone, and clean air was there again. Again, how is that possible? That God has set this earth up to survive no matter what man does until he comes. Sorry?
You can even take the examples of God himself and his course of nature when volcanoes erupt and the ash comes off the mat and destroys everything around it. It replenishes. So it's God's process of kind of getting rid of the death and everything that's around, getting rid of bad stuff, and then repopulating
again. When you look, like I said, you probably, I couldn't touch the tip of the iceberg on how God's providence functions. But I do know those things that, you know, what man says that we've created when all that took place, the oil and fires and so on, that it was going to destroy mankind and everything. Everything's back the same. That God has set certain things in motion that man cannot touch. Yeah, you may pollute some water, but God has set up that water to be purified again. You know. So that's kind of, as we get into that, when you look at that, but imagine when I got looking at the 10 plagues of all this destruction that took place, that Egypt was almost utterly in everything. In their homes and stuff, all these animals that God placed there and all this stuff, the amount of smell, whatever it may have been, I'm sure today a lot of burning was going on with this or whatever had they cleaned this stuff up, that Ezekiel makes statement that that was no longer in Egypt. It was again ruled by, not as a great kingdom, but as a smaller kingdom, but had been restored through the process of God's providence. The animal activist group likewise support their cause, yet again for the wrong reason. Many do not uphold the Bible version of creation, but evolution, and man came through the process of evolution from these animals. And so if that is your source of life, that's how we come, you naturally want to protect that source of life from which we come, because really, there are kinfolks. That's, you know, if you want to look at that. Instead of saying that God, indeed God created heaven and earth, he formed man out of the dust of the ground, they do not accept that. So they have a different outlook upon animals than what we would look at. We look upon animals what? God gave them for food, okay, for work. The Old Testament we will look at sometimes for sacrifice. But they were used in accordance with God's will. Okay? And that's the difference in it, of how we use those things and how the animal activist people look at animals. That we're used, as stewards, we use those things as God will have us to use them. You have those groups who protest and say killing an animal is cruel. And I agree that an unnecessary killing of an animal is cruel. And the person that does that is not a good steward of God. But I also know that accidents happen, and sometimes an animal is killed. Not that was your intent, but to just to purposely I guess, go ahead, Larry.
In that we're selective, in that we classify which animals we want to be kind to and which ones we don't. I might run across a whole lot of people that won't kill a snake or they won't kill a wasp. Or, you know, you step on ants, you kill them and stuff. So, you know, they're selective and, you know, a dog has more rights than a human child in this day and time. But yet, you don't see them, you know, going to the extreme on these other animals that they deem less important.
That's true. I think we all look upon, maybe a lot of times, like we do in humans, that we regard this, and of course, Paul instructs that we esteem everybody better than ourselves. But sometimes we're selective as far as that. But again, this idea of stewardship, that what all God created, and stepping on that sometimes unavoidable. Probably if you step out, you're going to step on something. But again, it's the intention. Just like willful murder. That I go in someone with a purpose of taking that person's life who was created in the image of God. Versus I'm driving down the road, he steps out in front of me, or she. There was nothing I could do. The old law made allowance for that. These cities of refuge. So that when accidents occur, the axe handle flew off and it killed somebody, that God understands that accidents happen. And life is sometimes taken. But again, it's the intention that I intentionally took that person's life. Or I intentionally, because a dog was in my way, just took that dog's life or whatever. Again, as far as stewardship. These people maintain that animals should no longer be used for food, for clothing, for research, for entertainment, or beasts of burdens. In other words, don't do nothing to them. But that's exactly the reason that God placed him here on earth. They were to be used for food, for clothing, for be beasts of burdens.
He had said, I think, I'm not sure which book it was in the Old Testament, seal, but it alluded to that when he displaced the children of Israel, he didn't want it to be too long or not to be unoccupied or uninhabited because the animals would take over.
Right. And so they were put in their limitations that man placed over again to care for them, that to come in whatever is what I talk about, to take over a place. But they were put under man's stewardship, animals were, and how man handled that. The beliefs of the animal activists are now being, as we mentioned, being taught in schools. Much like atheism, if you can establish atheism in schools, you can then get your point across about animals not to be mistreated, because that's what atheism is, that you come, or mankind come from an animal. These individuals believe animals have moral rights. They're moral beings, just like you and I. Some scholars support the extension of basic rights, that an animal has a right. And probably how you look at under there, do they have a right in the place that God has put them? Okay, not the way that they're using. They have rights that you can't violate. In other words, you can't work them. You can't use them for food. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. But God has placed that what you can do. But they're saying you can't. They have a right, just like you and I have rights, liberty, freedom, so on. They have those rights as animals. Those animals that are most often considered for this argument, they have right in order for parenthood, are the bamboo and the chimpanzee. Wonder why? That's where you come from. You come from a chimp. And so they have more rights than other animals because do that to your descendant. And so they have a moral right. They have rights that we cannot violate. And the meaning of personhood is that animals have certain capacities or attributes resulting in parenthood. I read an article his own, I can't remember where, talking about an animal given sign languages. I can't remember what animal it was. It may have been a monkey or an ape. Telling this person what to do for global warming. As Brother Wiser used to say, that's just stupidity gone to seed. Can you imagine? And this is how they equate. And you even see, if you notice a lot of the internet's on, they'll have an animal that's almost the complete opposite of one another. Play with one another. As if What can we do? In other words, we should get along. Or two female animals or two male animals that are cohorting together. Well, what are they trying to say? Homosexuality. This is where we come from. The animal's done it. It's just in our lineage from that.
But animals don't do that.
Not according to them, though. They take it because two female cats play together. That's what I'm saying. That's what they say. Or a dog and a cat are playing together. The extreme opposite. They should be against one another. Because they do that, that's what we should be. I'm just saying that the personhood, they have capacities and attributes that result in a personhood. They've got certain human characteristics to them. And that's what they are. And that's the animal actors. We'll stop there. Any other questions on that? Okay, thank you.